tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another fantastic episode of this series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, and today has been a pleasant weather. Hope wherever you are in the world and you are watching from, you are in the best of health and iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and your family. Ameen. Dear viewers, today we have a beautiful topic of discussion, that is, focus your attention on your intention. Yes, it is paramount to have righteous intentions, inshallah azawajal, we as Muslims. As it has been highlighted in various ahadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, inshallah, we shall discuss it and we'll bring about the verses of the Holy Quran, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statements of the pious predecessors as well. Before that, let's recite Salat al-Salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned his beautiful hadith. The deeds are considered by the intentions, and a person will get the reward according to his intention. So whoever migrates for Allah and His Messenger, Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his migration will be for Allah and Rasul, Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever migrated for worldly benefits or for a woman whom he wants to marry, his migration would be for what he migrated for. Allahu Akbar. And this hadith can be found in both Bukhari and Muslim. And this is the hadith which tells us that we will reap what we sow. Yes, as the saying goes, as you sow, so shall you reap. Or rather we can say, as you intend, so would be the outcome. This message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam contains the lesson that the reward of deeds that depend on the intention. Whoever does something for Allah's pleasure will succeed in the world and in the hereafter. And whoso does something for worldly sake or worldly gain will only attain that but no reward. But it will rather become a hazard of his life in certain circumstances. As it's in the Sharia of Muslim, that whoever migrates for Allah's pleasure, his reward is on Allah's mercy. And whoever migrates for seeking the world or for a woman, that will be his share and he will gain no reward in the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Such important is to have righteous intention. So no matter what we do, let it all be for the sake of Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. That should be our state of mind. That no matter what we do, whether it is our salah, whether it is our sacrifices, whether it is our life and even our dying, must be for the sake of Allah. Whoever performs salah to show and does not intend to seek Allah's pleasure will become a sinner. In short, as you intend, so shall you reap. Sayyidina Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala and other respected Imams alayhimur rahmah, they have stated that this hadith is 1/3 of Islam. Meaning this hadith is 1/3 portion of Islam. Allama Badruddin Aini rahimahullah ta'ala has stated that since this hadith speaks of intention, and the essentials of Islam are fulfilled in three ways, either by speech, by action, or by intention. Therefore, the intention is one-third of Islam. Sometimes the intention itself is an entire worship, subhanallah, while the other actions are dependent on it. It is therefore stated in the hadith, beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Sayyidina Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions four hadith that are sufficient for the religious affairs of a man. And he says those four hadith that will suffice you are al-amalu bin niyat. The actions are considered by the intentions. The second hadith he mentions, al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin. The second hadith actually should teach us what is halal and what is haram, and to abstain from haram and go for something that is halal and avoid something that is doubtful, subhanallah. When it comes to safeguarding our time and our efforts, he mentioned the third hadith, and it is min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that it is from the beauty of a person's Islam to abandon what does not concern him. And then for our social peace and harmony, the fourth hadith he mentions, and that in the fourth hadith the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, a believer cannot become the perfect believer until he likes for his fellow brother what he likes for himself. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says about this hadith, innama al-amalu bin-niyyat, that actions are dependent or considered by the intentions. He says about this hadith that this hadith contains 70 chapters of Islamic jurisprudence. Yes. Subhanallah. What is the definition of niyya or intention? In this regard, it is mentioned in Nuzhatul Qari that strong desire of the heart is called intention, whether it is for a particular thing. And in Islamic jurisprudence, the desire to worship is called intention. Yes, when we stand up for salah, we make intention. When we are going to make wudu, we make intention. Even when we are making wasal, we make intention. And the king of Madina Munawwara, the emperor of Makkah Mukarramah, beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, when some sealed documents will be presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will command the angels, leave this and accept this. The angels will ask, O Allah, by your dignity, we see nothing good, nothing but good in it. We see nothing but good in it. There is only good in it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, who knows best, will say, those deeds were done for someone else other than me. And today, I will accept only the ones that were done for my pleasure. Subhanallah. Realize the importance of having sincerity of the heart, having sincere intention. This hadith should always be remembered. It should always be echoing in our ears. Must be remembered in our minds. And be kept safe in our hearts. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said about the Day of Judgment that when the books will be opened, the angels will see all the good deeds. But Allah Azza wa Jal will say, leave this and accept this. Because those deeds, those good deeds, they were done for someone else other than Allah. And today, that day, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will only accept the ones that were done for His pleasure. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, reported that when the angels will be carrying one of Allah's servants towards paradise, impressed by excessive estimation of his deeds, till they reach wherever Allah will allow them to go in His kingdom, then Allah Almighty will send them a revelation. You are appointed to write the deeds of my servant, and I am aware of his heart. This servant of mine was not sincere to me in actions. Therefore, register him from amongst the Sijin. Sijin, it is the name of a place beneath the seventh earth, which is the abode of Satan and his army. Similarly, when the angels will be carrying one of Allah's servants towards hell, underestimating the amount of his deeds, till they reach wherever Allah Azza wa Jal will allow them to go in his kingdom. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send them a revelation and will say to them, you are appointed to write the deeds of my servant, and I am aware of his heart. This servant of mine is sincere to me in actions, therefore register him from amongst the Illiyin, subhanallah. Who are the Illiyin? This is a place reserved on the seventh heaven below the Arsh of Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. It is mentioned in this book of Az-Zuhd by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Let's inshallah make this dua to grant us sincerity.
Mera har amal bas tere waaste ho. Mera har amal bas tere waaste ho. Kar ikhlas aisa ata ya ilahi. Kar ikhlas aisa ata ya ilahi.
Ameen bijah. May every action of mine be for your sake. Grant me such sincerity, O my Lord. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful kalam for you. Let's inshallah azza wa jal go and listen to this kalam, and we'll be back after this kalam. Inshallah azza wa jal, and I hope that you remain with us on Madani channel. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back shortly. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya. Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya.
Jab ishara ho gaya, jab ishara ho gaya, matlab hamara ho gaya.
Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya. Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya.
Doob to kaya nabi kehte hi beda paar tha. Doob to kaya nabi kehte hi beda paar tha. Doob to kaya nabi kehte hi beda paar tha. Gham kinare ho gaye paida kinara ho gaya. Gham kinare ho gaye paida kinara ho gaya. Jab ishara ho gaya, jab ishara ho gaya, matlab hamara ho gaya.
Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya. Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya.
Teri talat se zameen ke zarre mahpare bane. Teri talat se zameen ke zarre mahpare bane. Teri talat se zameen ke zarre mahpare bane. Teri haibat se falak ka mahdupara ho gaya. Teri haibat se falak ka mahdupara ho gaya. Jab ishara ho gaya, jab ishara ho gaya, matlab hamara ho gaya.
Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya. Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya.
Yun to sab paida hue gaye aap hi ke waaste. Yun to sab paida hue gaye aap hi ke waaste. Yun to sab paida hue gaye aap hi ke waaste. Kismat uski hai jise keh do hamara ho gaya. Kismat uski hai jise keh do hamara ho gaya. Jab ishara ho gaya, jab ishara ho gaya, matlab hamara ho gaya.
Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya.
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال خود بنایا اور بنا کر خود ہی پیارا ہو گیا خود بنایا اور بنا کر خود ہی پیارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا تو ہی تو یعقوب کی آنکھوں کا تارا ہو گیا تو ہی تو یعقوب کی آنکھوں کا تارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے تیرے در سے بادشاہوں کا گزارا ہو گیا تیرے در سے بادشاہوں کا گزارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر سینکڑوں پردوں میں رہ کر عالم آرا ہو گیا سینکڑوں پردوں میں رہ کر عالم آرا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویوز الحمدللہ موتی مطلب تمہارا جب اشارہ ہو گیا سبحان اللہ بیوٹیفل کلام بائی دا گریٹ مبلغ آف دعوت اسلام میں اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی گرانٹ اس دی توفیق زیارت آف دا روضہ مبارکہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آمین بجاہ النبی الامین Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, as we are discussing our subject of discussion today, and that is focus your attention on your intention. We need to be watchful of our intention. We need to catch ourselves off guard the moment we see ourselves drifting into the trap of shaitan and showing off or having false intentions, inshallah azza wa jal. Because intention is one third of Islam, as we have just learned, alhamdulillah. Besides this, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says about the importance of intention and niyyah, that this hadith where the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the importance of niyyah, innama al-amalu bin-niyyat, this hadith contains 70 chapters of Islamic jurisprudence. And it is stated that an Ajami, a non-Arab, passed by a group of Arabs who were joking and teasing each other, listening to the Arabic words. That native person assumed that they were making the dhikr of Allah with a good intention. He also began to say as they were saying, It is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave that Ajami, that non-Arab person, because of his good intentions. Subhanallah. Concentration of the mind is essential for making good intentions. He who is not used to making good intentions will have to make a habit of it with some effort in the initial stages. In the beginning, it is beneficial to lower the head, close the eyes, free the mind from various thoughts and focus. Try to focus. If one wants to make intentions in haste while looking here and there, rubbing or scratching the body, or lifting or placing something, he may fall and he may actually fail in making good intentions. In order to make a habit of, you know, having good intentions, one needs to seriously make his mind regarding the importance of intentions. That must first sink in. Sayyidina Nu'aym bin Hammad rahimahullah has stated that it is easier for us to be whipped on our back than to make a good intention. Why does it have to be so hard? Hujjat al-Islam, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid Muhammad ibn Muhammad, Ibn Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, has stated, enjoying the favors of Allah is not a sin, though there will be questioning about it. And he who is questioned in accountability will be ruined. Though the one using mubah things, halal things in the world, will not be punished on the day of judgment, but his favors in the hereafter will be reduced in equal measure. Ponder how great a loss it is that a man hurries to acquire the temporary favors of the world, causing the eternal favors of the hereafter to be reduced. Who's the loser? Dunyawi lazzat ka dil se mita de shauk tu kar ata apni ibadat ka ilahi zauk tu. Ameen. Translation of this couplet is, O Allah Azza wa Jal, remove love for worldly pleasure from my heart and bless me with enthusiasm for worship. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi. The intention of applying fragrance. Fragrance is one of the countless favors bestowed down upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To use fragrance is mubah. Neither reward nor there is sin in using it. And one should use this favor, making it an act of worship and reaping the reward of the hereafter. To do so, one is required to make good intention. Whenever you are about to do something, do not start it at once. Pause for a while and make good intentions, focusing the mind before you do it. For example, if you are about to apply fragrance, calmly make good intention with full concentration, with the head lowered and if possible with the eyes closed before picking up the bottle of fragrance. Yes. If it's already picked up, then make intention before applying it, before opening it, motivating us to reap the reward by applying Itr. Arif Billah, a unanimously acknowledged researcher of Islamic sciences, a leading scholar of Hadith, Sayyidina Allama Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahimahullah ta'ala, has stated that one will gain reward by making good intentions, even for mubah actions. For example, whilst applying fragrance, if a person makes the intention of adhering to the sunnah, honoring the masjid when heading towards it, refreshing, you know, or freshening the mind, and protection of Islamic brothers from unpleasant smell. Yes. So, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, by having these intentions, one will be granted a separate reward for each intention. Imagine you are going for salah. You may be little, residing at a distance, and while you are driving on your way to the masjid, or while you are walking from home to the masjid, there are so many good intentions that you can have before you leave home. For example, you are heading towards the masjid to read your salah. That is one intention. And if you have that intention sincerely, you will gain the reward for that one intention. But what if you could make different intentions? you are leaving your home, whoever you meet on your way to the masjid, you have the intention of making salam to them. You have the intention of reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along the way. You have the intention that when I approach the masjid, before I enter the masjid, I will read dua before entering the masjid. Allahumma ftahli abwaab rahmatik. Then you enter the masjid. You have the intention that before I reach the masjid and after I enter, when I enter the masjid, I will perform the salah, the two rakat nafs salah of tahiyyatul masjid, subhanallah. Nafl salah, subhanallah. And that is also a reward separately. So you are getting the reward for the intention as well as when you are acting upon it. Let's say, for example, you met somebody, a brother, on your way to the masjid, and you meet many musallis, alhamdulillah. You are making salam to them, but you had this intention prior. Now you are getting the thawab for the intention and for making salam as well. You had the intention of reading your nafl salah when you enter the masjid. You are getting the thawab for intention, plus you are getting the reward for making salah. You had the intention of, you know, reciting the dua before entering the masjid. Now, when you do it, you will again receive the reward of reciting that dua actually. Again, when you are in the masjid, you must make intention prior that when I go to the masjid, I have this intention, inshallah, azza wa jal, that I will observe the respect for masjid. I will not do something that will violate the respect of the masjid, honor of the masjid, honor of the house of Allah. You must have the intention that if you find litter in the masjid, you will rather keep it in your own pocket, and on your way out, you will throw it in the bin. Keep the masjid and the house of Allah clean. You must have the intention that while I'm heading towards the masjid, inshallah, azza wa jal, I will, if there is any obstacle on the way, on my path, I will try and remove it. If there is a brick lying there, or if there is some thorny branches lying on the floor, people may be hurt by it. You must remove it. As the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that there are over 70 branches of Iman. And the highest of it is Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the lowest branch of Iman is to remove obstacle from the path. Subhanallah. So you are doing something which is part of Iman. There can be many, many, many more virtuous intentions that you could have. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he has mentioned various beautiful intentions that one can make before leaving for the masjid, inshallah, azza wa jal. And by doing that, you will not only gain reward for one intention, but you will gain reward for all those intentions, subhanallah. One can also make more intentions if possible. For example, I will recite Bismillah before I pick up the bottle when you're going to drink water, subhanallah. I will open the bottle top after I have recited Bismillah. I will apply fragrance, subhanallah. When it comes to opening the bottle of perfume, you can make the intention that I'll apply fragrance after I have recited Bismillah. And another intention can be of applying perfume. It will be that I will delight Muslims and the angels by applying fragrance. Another intention can be that if one's clothes begin to smell out of sweat, especially in the summer, one can also make the intention that I will protect the Muslims from backbiting by removing bad odor from myself. Subhanallah. And one can also make the intention for applying it prior to salah that I will adorn myself for salah. Yes, I will smell the fragrance after I recite salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will also recite alhamdulillah. I will apply fragrance so my intelligence is enhanced. This will assist me understanding the religious rulings. Subhanallah. It is stated in Ihya ul-Muddin. Sayyidina Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, he whose fragrance is good, his intelligence is enhanced. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, mashallah, these are some good intentions one could have. And there is a practice, alhamdulillah. I've seen it in various parts of the world, in South Africa as well, mashallah. Brothers, when I go and visit a masjid, and usually, you know, the musalli, the person sitting next to me, we are waiting for jama'ah, and we are waiting in the masjid, and when the brother sees me sitting next to him, he will pass the bottle of itr to me, subhanallah, so I could apply itr on my hand. He would offer me, subhanallah. So likewise, we offer each other itr. That can also be a very good intention, inshallah, azza wa jalla, if we could learn to pass the bottle of itr to one another. And there are some people who are habitual of it. I have seen those people that, mashallah, it's a very good thing. And it makes you feel warm and, you know, creates a sense of brotherhood, mashallah. It is done to honor someone, to pass to them a bottle of itr so they could apply the fragrance. Allah, subhanallah. So we could also do that. When applying fragrance, one is often tricked by such shaitan into making an evil intention. Therefore, one should pay close attention to good intentions in applying itr. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala has stated that the one applying itr with the intention of being praised by people or being considered rich by them is a sinner. And the itr which he applied will be fouler than the smell of a carcass on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. So let's make sure that our action is not to please people, not to impress people, but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have sincere intention. There are many virtues of having good intention, inshallah, azza wa jal. And one receives the reward of one's action in accordance to the intention that one has made. There is a beautiful narration and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that the people of this nation are of four types. And he is describing us, his ummah. He says that the first category, the first type of people are whom Allah Azza wa Jal has given knowledge, wealth, and he spends his wealth in its rightful perspective. And then there is second type of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given knowledge but no wealth. And he says, looking at the person in the first category who has wealth and knowledge and spends his wealth in worthy causes, he makes the intention, the person in the second category who has only knowledge but no wealth, had I this much wealth, I would also do such things. Then the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, both the person in the first and the second category, both are equal in reward. And then he says, there is a third category whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given wealth but no knowledge. And he goes about spending his wealth in unworthy causes, on unworthy things, due to his ignorance. And then there's yet fourth category. It is the person whom Allah Azza wa Jal has neither given wealth nor knowledge. And he says that had I this much wealth, looking at the person in the third category who has no knowledge but he has a lot of wealth and he just wastes his wealth. So he, this person in the fourth category, he looks at the person in the third category and he looks up to him and he thinks that if I had this much wealth, I would also spend it like that. And the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the people in the third and the fourth categories, both of them are equal in sin. Allahu Akbar. So what do we learn from here? That the person in the second category, he got the reward of the person in the first category, though he did not have the wealth, but merely by having the good intention, subhanallah. But the person in the fourth category, he did not have the money or wealth to carry out those evil actions of the person in the third category. But because of his ignorance and because of his ill intention, he is equal in sinning to the person in the third category. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and grant us divine inspiration and divine opportunity to have good intentions and to carry them out, inshallah. In the second hadith, it is mentioned that the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the bearer of the knowledge of the unseen, has stated that whoso intends to do good deed but fails to fulfill it, Allah Almighty writes the reward of a perfect good deed in his account. Subhanallah, if you made a good intention that you will do this virtuous deed, and this must be a firm intention, not just willy-nilly, then for some reason you do not get to fulfill that intention, you do not get to carry it out, even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes the reward of a perfect good deed in your account. Subhanallah. In the statement of Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and he states that the residents of heaven and the residents of hell will reside forever on accord of their intentions. It is mentioned in Ihya Ulumuddin. Allama Sayyid Muhammad ibn Muhammad Al-Husayni Az-Zabidi rahimahullah writes, when explaining the citation of Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that why Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said that the residents of heaven and the residents of hell will reside forever therein on accord of their intentions. What is the meaning for it, of it? He says that because Allah Azza wa Jal will not keep a servant in paradise forever because of his deeds. If he were to enter paradise on accord of his deeds, then he would get to stay there in accordance with his deeds or double that duration. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him in accordance of his intention. For he had intended to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his entire lifetime. But when the death had discontinued his deeds, he was being rewarded according to his intentions. Subhanallah. And same is the case of an infidel. When he were to stay in hell on accord of his deeds, he would then not reside there forever, but as far as his deed continued, since he made the intention to always remain firm on infidelity and disbelief, therefore he was punished in accordance with his intention. So yes, intention plays such crucial part. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, these are the Madani pearls that we get to learn, as it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the person who is on his way to Makkah Mukarramah for Hajj pilgrimage, and he passes away on the way, then the reward of Hajj will continue to be written every year for that person. Subhanallah. Why? Because he was in the path of Allah. He had the firm intention, subhanallah. Therefore, he will be rewarded the thawab of it. We should not let go of any opportunity of doing good. How merciful our Rabb Azza wa Jal is, that if he rewards his servant just upon making a good intention, though that person may not be able to fulfill it, we should not let go of any opportunity and make good intentions to the best of our capability and try to carry it out. Yes, don't just make intentions. Have the sincere thought to carry it out. Have it this in you. Have this in you to, inshallah, if I have made intention to go and perform salah, I will do it, come what may. For our merciful and affectionate Rabb Azza wa Jal shall grant us an abundant reward on good intentions as well. You can imagine how much reward we would receive if we act on those good intentions. It has been narrated that when a man from Bani Israel passed by a dune of sand at the time of drought and said in his heart that, oh Allah, had these sands been the grains, if these sands, he's just imagining, imagine this dune of sand if they were grain. I would love to give it to people in charity. And this was at the time of drought. Allah Azza wa Jal sent him a revelation that tell him, he sent a revelation to the Nabi of that time to go and tell this person that Allah Azza wa Jal has accepted your charity and due to having good intention, he has given you the reward as much as you would have gained if you were to receive, if these sand, you know, in the sand dunes were to be turned into grains and you would have given them in charity actually. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, whoever makes a good intention will reap its reward, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. All you need is sincerity of the heart and the will to carry out these actions. Whoever intends to make his hereafter better is granted the goodness of the world and the hereafter, and the world comes at his feet automatically. And the one who runs after the world, having abandoned the awareness about the hereafter, the more he follows it, the more the world runs away from you. One gets what one has, you know, in one's destiny. None can get even an atom more than his fate. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that Allah enriches the heart of the one who seeks the hereafter and gathers for him all his scattered affairs, and the world seems very cheap and disgusting to him. And whoso seeks the world, Allah Azza wa Jal brings forward his poverty before his eyes and scatters his organized affairs, and he gets the worldly things just as much as it was in his destiny, not more than that. The leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he states that the best of deeds are to fulfill the duties towards Allah, abstinence from forbidden things, and for the intention to be truly for the sake of Allah. One receives Allah's assistance in accordance with one's sincerity. The more sincerity you have, the more barakah you receive. You know, as it is a famous phrase in Urdu, Jaisi niyat waisi barakah. Our barakah and blessings will be in accordance with our intention. The more sincerity one has in his actions, the more he receives Allah's help. It is because of one's intention that the deeds differ in goodness or evil and inferior or greater in their status. And sometimes it happens that one at last gets the chance of fulfilling a virtuous deed on account of having a good intention. Yes. Keep on making good intentions. One day it will come the time when you will action that good intention, inshallah. There are, alhamdulillah, few narrations in this regard. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that Allah Azza wa Jal has written in Torah, a small action that was to seek my pleasure is great to me, and a great action that was intended for anyone else besides me is inferior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though it may be bulky. So you may do something and you may consider it, oh, it's such a small deed, but there's sincerity in it. You're doing it for the sake of Allah. That is actually accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that good deed, though it was massive feeding campaign you had, you know, you fed hundreds of people, but behind that feeding and doing all this, you know, it's a daunting task to feed hundreds and thousands of people. But behind doing all of this, you had the intention, oh, people are going to see today as to how generous I am. Then this big deed that you did, this big deal you are making about, is inferior in the court of Allah than that small deed which was done sincerely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Salim bin Abdullah wrote a letter to Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Abdullah ta'ala alayhi. He says that, know that a servant gains Allah's help in accordance with his intention. And whoever's intention is perfect, he also receives the help of Allah in a perfect form. And whoever's intention is imperfect, he receives less of Allah's assistance and help. Allah. So see, jaisi niyat waisi barkat. It is so true. It has been narrated from the pious ancestors regarding, you know, our pious predecessors, that an insignificant attempt often becomes great because of the intention, and many a superior actions turn to be puny because of the intention. In the next narration, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he states that the intention are pillars for the actions. The actions are in need of intentions, for they become good only on accord of intentions. As a good intention is virtuous by itself, though one may fail to fulfill it due to an obstacle. Subhanallah. So, this intention is still virtuous, although you may fail to act upon it due to some obstacle that came in your way, but the reward is still there. Sayyidina Dawood Ta'i rahimahullah ta'ala, the student of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala alayh, states that a pious servant who yearns for Allah's fear, Allah's taqwa, although all his body parts get engaged in worldly activities, even then his good intention will one day lead him towards a good deed, while the state of an ignorant person is different. All you need to have is the will to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have the taqwa and the piety. And if there is a will, there is a way. Inshallah. So one must have good intentions prior to exercising and doing a virtuous action. Alhamdulillah, there is much more to relate, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, as the time is running out. And let's not forget our segment for today, where we present a book of Maktabatul Madina, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And that is, to succeed, you must read, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Let's go for a beautiful clip and nasiha, and after which we'll return and present our today's publication, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madani channel, who doesn't want to go to paradise? Now let's listen to a hadith that will make it easy for us to attain paradise. Subhanallah. A paradise dweller and a sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has narrated, the Honorable Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, whoever includes an orphan in his food and drink, Allah Almighty necessitates paradise for him with certainty. Subhanallah. Except if he commits a sin that cannot be forgiven. It is stated in another blessed hadith that the final Prophet of Allah Almighty sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, whoever does good with an orphan boy or girl that is living with him, then I and him will be like these in paradise. He then joined two of his fingers together, meaning just like there is no gap between these two fingers, just like that, there will be no distance between me and him on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this blessing and enter us into paradise without accountability. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers, alhamdulillah. And now we are presenting to you a very beautiful publication of Maktabatul Madina, Miraculous Wonders of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On page 8 of this book, it is mentioned that Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was an ardent follower of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in fact the embodiment of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, absolute submission to Sunnah manifest in his words as well and his action. One day, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu sat by the entrance of the masjid and asked for the meat of the limb of a goat and consumed it. He then offered salah without redoing his wudu and explained that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also consume the same whilst sitting in the same place, and did so in the same way. Allahu Akbar. Look at the enthusiasm of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu in emulating the sunnah of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is also mentioned that once Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala smiled whilst performing wudu. The people asked the reason, on which he replied that once I saw the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling, having performed wudu at this very place. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us as well the opportunity and tawfiq to follow the sunnah of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the sadaqah of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ameen. Bijahi nabi ameen. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and